In 2001, Lenny Cook was the highest-ranked high school basketball player in the country, rated above fellow high school players LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Amari Stoudemire. But when he entered the 2002 NBA draft out of high school, he didn't get the call. So Mr. Cook played on NBA Summer League teams and in various overseas leagues. But now, because his NBA dreams never materialized despite his great promise, at age 31, he's put his basketball career behind him. In 2001, Adam Shopcorn started shooting a documentary about the young Mr. Cook, a project that was never finished. But a decade later, much of that footage has found its way into a new documentary called Lenny Cook. It is from directors Josh and Benny Safdie and opens tomorrow at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. I'm very pleased to welcome Lenny Cook to our show, along with co-director Benny Safdie and producer now Adam Shopcorn. Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. Adam, you saw a lot of him in 2001. How good was Lenny?
Lenny was the best. He had the Brooklyn swagger to the utmost, and he was, he could go head to head, toe to toe with just about any basketball player in the country.
And what position did he play?
He was kind of a tweener, like a 2, 3, or 4. Lenny will probably tell you that he could have played all 5 positions on the court.
I believe it.
All 5 positions, if you were going to. You're also being a playmaking guard, a little big for that. As a high schooler, you had ESPN film crews following you around and people asking for your autograph. What was the attention like for a kid who was growing up in Bushwick?
The attention was great. I enjoyed it. Coming from not knowing that I would be that successful in high school due to basketball, it was amazing. It was a great honor. It still is an honor to become a New York City basketball legend. Even though I didn't make it to the NBA, which I was hoping to, but...
And everybody assumed you were going to make it to the NBA, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, people was telling me that anyway.
On the other hand, you say in the film you didn't really love the game.
At the time, I didn't, because I didn't know the business side. I didn't know the politics of it. I was just out there playing because people was offering me different things to come play. So I really didn't love the game. I loved the things I was getting out of it.
And what you could get out of it. Because top basketball players make millions and millions of dollars.
Correct.
Your mother moved to Virginia when you were still in high school, and you moved to Old Tappan in New Jersey to continue playing basketball. Why not go to Virginia? Don't they play basketball down there?
It's not as many opportunities in the area where my mother's from. They take football more serious than basketball in Virginia. But my mom gave me the opportunity to go move with Debbie, which was Brian's mother, one of my teammates. And she took me in as one of her children, and I respect her and love her for that.
But then you decided to leave New Jersey before you finished high school.
Yeah, I left in almost the end of my senior year. I ended up signing with an agent that was going to represent me for the 2002 draft.
Now, why that rather than go the other route and try to play college basketball? You weren't maintaining good high school grades?
My senior year, I did pick my grades up. I was eligible to go to college, but they, St. John's ended up firing Coach Jarvis, and that was one of the main reasons that I didn't go to St. John's for a year or two. Other than that, my decision came because I had a son at the age of 18 that I needed to provide for as well.
Did Debbie Bortner, your guardian, want you to stay in New Jersey?
Yeah, she begged me to stay, but it was something that I had to do for me and my family.
Adam, a lot of this film was constructed from documentary footage that you filmed in the early 2000s. Why were you working on a documentary about Lenny?
I was working for a film producer right out of college, and I read an article by Harvey Araton of the New York Times.
Who appears in this film.
Correct. And he wrote an article about high school basketball players making the quote-unquote leap to the NBA. I was very interested in that phenomenon, that process, and it was a process that was happening more and more. It was almost as if the floodgates were opening, and as you see in the film in 2001, 3 of the first 4 NBA draft picks in the 2001 draft were high school kids, so it was kind of game over from that point on.
But you decided to choose Lenny as your subject over the others.
Correct. Interestingly enough, whenever I was at basketball camps over the summer, LeBron James's business manager, Maverick Carter, used to come up to me and say to me, forget about Lenny Cook. Come down to Akron, Ohio, and do a documentary on my cousin. He's the real deal. And I would say, well, thank you very much, but I was born and raised in New York. I live in New York. I'm employed in New York, and I'm making a film about Lenny, not about LeBron.
Why wasn't it ever completed?
Lenny and I, when Lenny moved out to Flint, Michigan, or rather for the 2002 NBA draft, it became harder and harder to get in touch with Lenny. Unfortunately, I wasn't with him during that 2002 NBA draft. I probably called him 147 times that day.
Why didn't you return the calls, Lenny?
I didn't return anyone calls that day because I didn't know whether I was going to get drafted or not, and that was my focus.
So the project lost some steam, lost momentum, and I put it down for a month, and then a month became 6 months, and I got busy with my life, and I continued to follow Lenny's career, and then
Did you remain in touch?
For a while, and then we fell out of touch, and then I kind of stared at the digital videotape sitting in a Nike shoebox on my shelf, and then I knew Benny and Josh, and I knew they were making fiction films, and they were doing quite well for themselves with their careers. So I invited Josh over one day to take a look at the footage, probably 7 years after I stopped shooting the project, and Josh was intrigued and loved it and called Benny to come over, and that was that.
Benny, what was your first impression of Lenny from the footage that you saw?
Well, I think it's funny because you asked why Adam followed Lenny, and it was because he was the greatest, you know? Carmelo flew up to play Lenny. All these guys had to prove themselves against him. So you watch this footage, and he really was playing point guard, playing in the post, rebounding. He was doing everything. So the sports aspect of it was very interesting. And what Josh and I as filmmakers are really interested in is human beings, and we kind of wanted to take the story to that next level. And I think back in that footage, we kind of found these sort of scenes of Lenny's humanity, you know, really seeing him make these decisions by himself. You know, when he's in a bus station, he couldn't walk 5 steps without somebody lecturing him of what he should or shouldn't do. And that's hard for somebody who's that young. And we really wanted to make the audience feel that emotion and pressure too.
A lot of people have pointed out that athletes, the really top athletes, don't have to do all sorts of things for themselves. There's always somebody to carry their suitcase or get them to the place they have to go to without them ever having to check out train schedules or see what's the best subway stop. So in an odd way, you were both being expected to be very adult, and you were also being treated as a child at the same time.
Correct. As far as my decision making, I made all of my decisions on my own, which made it easier for me. I didn't have anybody telling me I need to do this or do this way or do this that way. When I wanted to do something, I did it.
Hmm. But people objected. They felt you were often making the wrong decision.
At times.
Well, and I think what's amazing is what's about Lenny's personality is there are no regrets, right? You know, about any of this, because he was the greatest at something. Not many people get to say that, and that's unreal.
My guest on Lenny Cook is the subject of a film called Lenny Cook that is opening tomorrow at the Eleanor Bunin Moreau Film Center at Lincoln Center. Also with us is co-director Benny Safdie, who directed it with his brother Josh, and the producer of the film, who provided much of the footage, Adam Shopcorn. There's a scene in the film, I guess the pivotal scene, where Lenny, your team at an elite basketball camp, goes against LeBron James's team. I suspect you remember that game rather well. What happened?
It was a good game. I played well in the first half. LeBron played well in the second half. And LeBron ended up hitting a game-winning shot with 6.2 seconds left to beat me by one and he exploded from there. He became the best basketball player on the planet right now after that.
Well, I think many people would say he is the best basketball player, at least in the NBA right now.
I would say so.
Last year, Sonny Vaccaro, who founded the basketball camp, told the New York Times last year that shot, the shot where LeBron finally won the game, symbolized the beginning of LeBron and the downfall of Lenny Cook. Why do you think that moment changed everything? Hasn't LeBron hit difficult shots over most of the best, pretty much every great player in the game?
I wouldn't say that. Every great player that's playing now, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean,
obviously he didn't beat Will Chamberlain.
So, I mean, once he beat the best, then he became the best.
And it's like, if he didn't make that shot, would everything change? You know?
Yeah, who knows? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a good
like
story.
He said in the movie, if my teammate would have hit two free throws, it was no chance for the game to be won that way. So would that make me a $90 million man if I would have won by 1 point?
What did you do after the game?
I just told him good shot. I was wondering how the hell he made that shot, but, I mean, I just told him good shot.
What was the crowd's reaction to that game, Adam? Were you there?
Yeah, of course. LeBron was relatively unknown at that point in time. He was a young kid from Akron, Ohio, you know, wide-eyed, looking at a guy like Lenny Cook from Brooklyn. And interestingly enough, I was pretty much the only guy with a camera in that gym. 24 to 48 hours after he hit that shot, I remember getting pinned against the wall by about a 1,000-ton camera that an ESPN crew was carrying around. So literally every single network in the tri-state area descended upon Fairleigh Dickinson University because they wanted to see who this LeBron James kid was. So that was kind of the beginning of that put LeBron on the map. And then a few months later, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So it was a lot of hype. Those camps were all about the individual matchup. Sonny Vaccaro, these coaches would make it about the individuals more so than the team.
Well, who else who made it into the NBA played in that game?
Carmelo Anthony was at the camp. Darren Williams, Brooklyn Nets, Darren Williams was at the camp. An extremely unknown Darren Williams.
But both major stars now.
Correct. Amari Stoudemire was not at that particular camp because he was what they like to call a Nike guy, so he would go to the Nike camps. Lenny was an Adidas guy. A guy, Charlie Villanueva, from Brooklyn, who's now in the NBA, Francisco Garcia, Chris Bosh on the Miami Heat.
But since Lenny did better than most of those players in that game, there has to be something else that happened.
Well, I think That's what this movie is about. There isn't one specific thing that you can point to that you can say, oh, that's why it didn't happen. And I think that's the case with a lot of things that happen in life. And we wanted the documentary to kind of allow you to see the world from Lenny's perspective and just how his emotions were feeling at the time.
Well, Benny, do you think that things would have been different if Lenny had gone to college to play basketball instead of entering the draft? Although, as you pointed out earlier, three of the four top draft choices that year were straight out of high school.
Yeah, I don't know. Lenny always said he would have benefited from, you know, a year at St. John's. And maybe just sort of putting a pause on all that hype and all that break might have – I don't know. What do you think, Lenny?
I mean, maybe it would have. Maybe it wouldn't have.
But did you think you were getting good advice?
I didn't have advice. I was taking my own advice.
Well – so do you regret that?
No, not
was
at all.
You had an agent. What was the agent telling you?
He was blowing me smoke as well.
I think that's the craziest thing is that the agent was really looking at Lenny like a lottery ticket. And the NBA draft at that time was like a lottery. You know, if you had the right number, you won all that money. And if you didn't, on to the next.
Well, what about money, Lenny? There are scenes of you going out in Las Vegas as a teenager. Did you get a lot of money?
Yeah,
what would seem like a lot of money for a teenager at the time?
I received a lot of money at that age. I was able to do things that I probably wouldn't have been able to do working somewhere here that I was able to do then when I received the money from that agent that would represent me.
But then that would have disqualified you from playing in college at that point.
That took my eligibility away.
So the agent was giving you the money?
Yes.
You also were getting a lot of attention because you were such a talented player, and I would assume that that kind of attention would have been a distraction.
It wasn't a distraction because I performed well as soon as I got on the basketball court, regardless of what I'd done the night before.
Adam, did you notice any changes in him?
Any changes when I reconnected with him?
No, well, just in his the sense of not, his motivation.
I thought, you know, whenever Lenny played, you know, within the lines of a basketball court, he worked incredibly hard. He played intense. He hustled. It wasn't like he slacked off on the court. He worked hard. I just think that, you know, perhaps the guy training him and the guy working him out and the guy representing him, I just wish there were better people around him in that circle. That's not to blame them. You know, I'm not putting blame on anyone, but I just wish that I wish Lenny were represented by an agent who had, you know, gotten 25 players into the NBA draft previously.
How did you even meet your agent?
I met him in a club. He sent the runner to me in the club one night. And my best friend, Damani, he stopped him and asked him what did he want from me. And he told him he's working for such and such person and he had something for me and they were interested in giving me some money. And Damani told me he had some money for me. So I met him the next morning at a hotel and it was a suitcase full of money.
Well, he saw you as his potential meal ticket.
Exactly.
So this was an investment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's interesting because Lenny, you always say it's like you didn't want to practice because you didn't have to practice.
I mean, I felt that way. I mean, maybe I should have, but at the time I felt like nobody was better than me, so I didn't need to practice to beat someone that I'm going to run up against in high school the next day.
My guests are Lenny Cook, the subject of a film called Lenny Cook. We're also talking with its producer, Adam Shopcorn, and its co-director, Benny Safdie. It opens tomorrow at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. So in 2006, the league changed the rule about high school players entering the draft. Now it requires that they wait a year after high school to enter. Do you think that year makes a difference?
Well, I think it does. I kind of touched on it a little bit before that maybe putting a pause on all of the hype machine kind of helps. Some kids don't actually necessarily go right to college. I know Brandon Jennings went
to Europe.
Yeah, he went to Europe and played a year in Europe. But maybe just kind of that break allows you to sort of think about things a little bit more and take a little bit of a next step into the bigger league. But
so, Lenny, there you were. It's the 2002 draft. You're expecting to be picked, maybe even a lottery pick. Yao Ming was the first pick, and that's no surprise. But it started going down. A number of other players you'd played against. Amari Stoudemire went ninth. Were you surprised that you weren't picked in the first round?
I was surprised because the agent that was representing me was telling me when Juan Dixon was getting picked, that was going to be my pick. It didn't happen. So I said, I'll wait. It'll get called. It didn't happen. Second round came. It didn't get called. And there was nothing I can do about it.
Have you ever spoken to any of the general managers who might have been expected to pick you? Did you ever hear from anybody of why were allowed?
I haven't heard the reason why yet. And it's 11 years later.
Has anybody asked about that? Harvey Arrington, who's a sports writer, one of the more prominent sports writers in New York, he must have asked some of the general managers.
I don't know if Harvey ever touched on that. I do know that I've always been incredibly curious about that. But one of the nice things working with Josh and Benny is they told me right off the bat, well, that's not really the film we're making. We're not exploring the why of Lenny was never picked. If I could sit down on my own time and you know, have a conversation with all 28 GMs from 2002 to ask them why they didn't draft Lenny Cook, I would be very curious to learn why. But it wasn't something that we really chose to touch on in the film.
But it is something that occurred to me. Why didn't it occur to you, Benny? I mean, it's obvious that he had a lot of potential, even if they didn't think he was ready to start. Other less talented players have been drafted out of high school.
Well, I think it's possible. In the film, I think there's the scene with the coach, and he's kind of telling Lenny that if you want to be a better basketball player, you're going to have to be a bit more responsible. And you kind of just brushed him off and went on to the next thing. And
they thought he was immature.
It's possible. You always told us about how there were people following you to the clubs, you know, and they were and I think maybe at that year after all those high school kids came out, there was kind of this like, wait a second, maybe we should rethink how we do this. And
it was let's draft Europeans.
Yeah,
because they were considered to have a more complete game.
That was yeah. Let's draft high school kid. You know, it's what's the appetizer of the day in 2002. You know, the best meal sold was a 7 foot European who could shoot the three like Dirk Nowitzki.
And I think it's also strange because Lenny kind of was the future before the future. You know, he was here. We had the 6'6", 6'7" guard who could post up and could rebound, and that really hadn't been seen at this point. So I don't think people were ready for that.
Well, you know? There was Magic Johnson.
That's true, and that's why there was all those comparisons made. But it had been so long since then.
Now, Lenny, did you get any inquiries while you were playing overseas or in some of the development league teams? And were there any nibbles, suggestions that some team might want to sign you?
Well, when I was playing in the CBA for Long Beach Jam.
The Continental Basketball Association.
Yes. My coach was Tony Archibald, and he was getting me a 10-day contract that year in January. But I was in a bad car accident on December 23rd. Which almost took my life away. I was dead on arrival, and I was in a coma for 9 days, and they wanted to amputate my leg. But other than that, no.
So more bad luck. Here's your big opportunity, and you wind up in a car crash. Joachim Noah, who is a star player for the Chicago Bulls, is an executive producer of this film. He looked up to you when you were in high school, didn't he?
Yes. Like I always say to anybody, that's my big little brother. He's a great person. I'm honored to have him a part of this documentary. And he just wants the best for me. He wants this story to be told. We showed it in Chicago last week, and he brought some of the kids out from his Noah's Ark Foundation. They were very well into it. But it's something that he said that needs to be told, and that's why he wants to be a part of it.
Benny, when you decided to make the film and you went to Virginia to meet Lenny, what were your expectations?
It was strange because I had been, up until that point, spending a year with all this older footage, and I had kind of developed this image and myth of who Lenny was and what he had, his mindset was and how he acted. And going down and meeting him for the first time was kind of strange because it was almost like I didn't want to leave the past. You know, I didn't want to come into the present. But what I found was surprising. You know, I found a different person, you know, a better person almost.
Yeah, I'm assuming, Adam, you feel the same way. How much has Lenny changed over the years? Well, of course, he's not a kid anymore. And he's a father. He has responsibilities. You're a grown-up person now.
Yeah, I'm a way more mature person than I was when I was 18.
which is a big surprise, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're a motivational speaker now, and you tell other high school kids your story. What do you see when you look at these young players?
A lot of them, I see me. Because a lot of them, they don't have that drive. They don't have that person that's pushing them, especially where I'm located. They don't have that one person that's going to tell them to do things this way or do 10 push-ups instead of 5, you know what I'm saying, because they don't really care.
Well, do you think that they're actually listening to you after all?
I mean, the kids in my area listen to me because they look up to me and they respect me for the things that I've done in my past.
I think they have to, you know, because there's a lot of stories that are similar to this. But Lenny was the greatest, and yeah. So you kind of have to listen to that story.
It's different if you were rated number 20.
Yeah.
Lenny was rated number one. Lenny Cook is the subject of a film called Lenny Cook. My great thanks to co-director Benny Safdie and producer Adam Shopcorn, and, of course, to Lenny Cook himself. It opens at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center tomorrow. It's been a lot of fun talking with all of you. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.